Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. As we look tonight in Matthew chapter 5, the theme of this chapter, of course, is the Sermon on the Mount. The first verse deals with the preacher and him getting ready, and an example for us to be ready when it's time for us to stand up with the Word of God. And our key verse is verse 48, "Be ye therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And one thing that you got to notice is God never commanded you something you couldn't do. A lot of folks believe in sinless perfection. I don't. But I do know this. I know the one that's sinlessly perfect. And if you have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you can be perfect as He's perfect. But it's in Him, not in what you do. It's in Him. In other words, we're not looking on your account. Your account is long and has many charges. His has none. But as we look on down, 48 verses, 1,081 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible. We're going to read verse 3 tonight. Verse 3, as the Bible says here, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." As we look tonight, I'm going to preach to you on the privilege of poverty. The privilege of poverty. You and I, we think we're rich because if you ask us, if you hold your place here and look over at Revelation chapter 3, I'll tell you where we're at. This is prophetically where we're at. He wrote to these churches in Asia Minor and said to them, he said, the angel, this church. And then 2,000 years later, we look back on history and see all these churches and time periods here in this last dispensation known as the church age. And as we get to the very last of it, he says in Revelation chapter 13, if you look down at chapter 3, verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich." I'm rich. A lot of people think they're rich. The Reverend Al Sharpton thinks he's rich. Just for fun, I want to tell you something. He just sold his life story to his own charity for about $500,000. That's pathetic. I am rich. I am rich. He says, "I am rich." And you notice he said, "I am rich." He said, God didn't say you're rich. He said, "I am rich." And what's this? Increased with goods. I heard old time preachers preach when I was first coming along in the ministry, and the guys that have died out that were really old back then when I started, they would refer to a nail as what they had for a closet when they were kids. You kids know what that means? You adults know what that means. That meant you had a nail to hang all your belongings in this world on that nail when you went to bed at night. So I don't understand. Go back and watch The Little Rascals. Poverty, my friend, poverty. Depression era. Had a nail to hang all your earthly belongings. Now it takes three buildings to, right? You're not rich, you increase the goods. Watch this. He says, "And have need of nothing." Everybody I asked that's in poverty, I said, "Need anything?" "I don't need anything. Everything's good." And he says, "And knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked?" That's the way God views people. We go back over here, Matthew chapter 5. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." As we look at this message and get into what they call the Beatitudes here, by the time Christ preached this great sermon, the Greek philosophers had all come, said what they had to say, and died and left people as morally, spiritually bankrupt as where they had found him. By the time he preached this sermon, all the religions of the East had come and gone, gave laws and rules to follow, but none of them helped society. None of them helped mankind in general. And none of them, listen, everybody was just as flat, dead, and poor and empty as they were when those things come along. Right. The qualities given here in just these verses 3 down to verse 12, for instance, are the opposite of those that the world values. And A.W. Tozer, the late preacher, put it this way. He said, a fairly accurate description of the human race might be furnished, one unacquainted with it, by taking the Beatitudes, turning them inside out, and saying, here is your human race. What a very pointed statement. As we look tonight, I said, we're talking about the privilege of poverty. The privilege of poverty. As we get into this study on verse 3, there are some distinctions of believers that are found just in verse 3. Listen, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The privilege of poverty. Let's look at those. The first distinction, if you'll notice, he says in verse number 3 there, one word, blessed. That word blessed right there refers to the pleasure of believers only. You and I look at that word blessed and we hear people say, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. That's charismatic claptrap. Either you're blessed or you're not blessed. You're one or the other. That highly favored business, let me give you a clue about that thing. It's the same thing as saying Jesus is Lord over and over, thinking you making him Lord. He's already Lord. And the Bible never says Jesus is Lord. Listen to this. It says Jesus is the Lord. Got that distinction of the with it. And I notice here, listen, that word blessed right here before your very eyes in verse 5, according to a Bible scholar, let me know this, that occurs 9 times. Right there. Fruitfulness. Ain't that right, Bible scholar? He counted them, I counted them behind him. Somebody tells me something, I go check it out. I think that's cool.
Amen.
But look at this. 9 times is how many times that thing occurs in this little passage. But you'll notice that the word blessed means, watch this one, to be made holy. If you're blessed, it's because God Almighty, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, made you holy. You know what that is? That's the pleasure of believers.
Right.
We are blessed. It means to be consecrated, where God has set you apart just for himself, and he done that without rhyme or reason. He just done it because he wanted to, and he chose his will for you to be set apart for him. Blessed are the poor in spirit. He just said blessed. It talks about spiritual joy and satisfaction that lasts regardless of condition, carrying one through pain, sorrow, loss, and grief. Blessed.
Right.
You ever been through tough times in your life? Can I tell you how you got through it? One word, blessed.
Right.
So what's that? Pleasure of believers only. God did that. God did that. There's an unexplained thing that goes on inside the believer. You can find it in Scripture, but when you live through it, it shows you what the Scripture has taught you the whole time, and you may not have been aware of it. He's able to do everything he says in this book.
Right.
Though it seem cloudy and dark and the storm will never end, somehow the rain ceases, the wind ceases, and the sun comes out tomorrow. I look in this thing and I'm reminded of Psalm 23 verse 4 where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Listen to this. Blessed, for thou art with me.
Amen.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Blessed. Why are we blessed? Because we're getting through? No, because of who's walking through with us.
Amen.
Every trial you face as a believer, God walks through you, with that thing through you at all times, no matter what it is. Doubt, discouragement, depression, defeat, whatever it is. And I've heard a lot of well-meaning people say that there's no such thing as depression, but then I read the Bible and find out there is, and God walks through that as well. I've heard people say a Christian can't be defeated, but yet we walk defeated, but yet he walks through the defeat with us and picks us up and carries us back to victory.
Amen.
I see where he tells us that that I hear Christians of good meaning and good intention in their heart will say something really stupid like, you don't have diseases, God can heal all of them, but yet he chooses not to heal yours. And then they'll tell you it's because you have not faith enough for it to be healed. There's a Greek word for that. I looked it up this week. It's called baloney. And I'm going to let you in on something. If you have a disease that God won't heal, you know what that is? You're in good company because the Apostle Paul had the same thing. Oh, my.
Right.
Somebody shoot that thing when it comes back up there again. Yeah. It looks like something would carry somebody off. For those of you in the live audience watching via the tube, We've got a bug flying around. It looks like it's a huge one, too. Oh, it's a wasp. Uh-oh. Well, you got him. All right, back to where we is at. I wonder if Apostle John ever had this happen when he was preaching. We ought to turn the cameras back here on this guy while he kills this thing. I mean, that would be, you know, eyes hiding from us. Okay, we're looking at blessed, for thou art with me. They'll say that you haven't got enough faith, that's why you have your disease, but you're in good company, because the Apostle Paul had something he couldn't get healed either, and he asked God for it several times. Why do you have it? Because God wanted him to know that my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's what the Bible said. He said in 2 Corinthians 12:9. I'll take that over all that religious stuff all the time.
Right.
I see people telling me, well, there's a group of people that says they're Christians that says that if you're sick, that's only in your mind. Yet they bury them every day.
Yep.
They bury him every day. You didn't think he was going to live forever in this body, did you? I found out over the years that the body dries up, we put lotion on it. It gets dirty, we wash it with soap. It gets fat, and we do nothing of that. Amen and amen. But what we do have is we got him walking through all that with us. And I noticed that he said blessed, and that's the distinction of the pleasure of the believer. But also he said blessed are the poor in spirit. Listen to this one. That's the distinction of the past of the believer. The past of the believer. Why is it past? Because the first step in coming to believe in Christ is the step right there of poverty in spirit, being poor in spirit, and it brings you to a humility that you previously did not have. A lot of people have no past. They were born saved, they say. They say they were born and they've never known how it feels to be lost. I got news for you. You lost right now. You've got to see yourself as lost. You've got to see yourself as poor in spirit. You've got to see yourself as not worthy of God's salvation, not deserving of any of it, but yet you'll take it because God offered it as a free gift.
Right.
By the way, Romans 11:29 is still in your Bible, and it says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
Right.
If he ever gives you a gift, if he ever calls you, you're always called, and you've always got that gift.
Mm-hmm.
I hate this time of year because I have to hear parents lie to their children. If you'll be good, Santa Claus will bring you such and such. Them are the worst kids in the world they tell that stuff to. We were sitting in the waiting room this morning. I told some strangers there, and they were all three Roman Catholics. And they said, oh, yeah. Do you remember that those three old ladies sitting there? I said this. I said, I never believe in beating youngins until I get in a place like this. And then they don't control them. Here's a guy over here that he took his hearing aid out, and I thought, man, if I had one, I'd take mine out too. People go wild in places. And they let their kids do anything. They'll swing from the plants and pull over the water fountain and everything they get their hands on. And they'll just sit back and say, stop. Santa ain't going to bring you nothing. If they're looking for a fat, bald guy with a beard, I'm him, son. I'm ready to give him something right now. Early Christmas present. Poor in spirit. People never see themselves as poor in spirit. They never see themselves as lost.
Yeah.
The first turn you make when you see that the Lord's going to save you and wants to save you, you realize you don't deserve saving.
That's right.
I've had people tell me, they said, I don't believe God can forgive me. They believe God can forgive them. They believe they deserve it too.
Mm.
They just don't want it. They want to hang on to sin and hang on to sin and hang on to sin and hang on to their destination to hell and all them fake friends. But when it comes right down to it, they're not looking to get saved. They're looking to stay lost.
Yeah.
Poor in spirit. They don't see it yet. One thing about the Lord working on somebody's heart and conviction is when Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him. When he draws you, the closer you get drawn to him, the less you see that you are. The less that you see your righteousness, the less you see how holy you think you are, the less you see your good works are going to slide you in. Then you see how you really are. There's a verse over there in about the Bible being a mirror and the perfect law of liberty and so forth. And the reason people don't read the Bible, it makes them feel bad sometimes. I've heard people say, we want to update the Bible so we can understand it better. It's not the understanding you've got. You've got the understanding, because every time you open this book, it reads you back and you don't like what it's saying. They said, let's do away with the Old Testament. You know why? Because the law is a schoolmaster that brings you to Christ. You don't want to be brought. I heard a man say one time, and he said this, I do believe it's true. If we'd quit telling people how much God loves them and just preach the law to them, God would show them how much he loves them as he draws them to Christ and saves them. Instead, what we're doing, we're giving the answer and then not telling them the question. And they don't know what to do. Jesus said at the end of this Gospel of Matthew and in Mark chapter 16 about preaching and teaching to all men. Why? People don't understand this. They don't understand the gospel. They read in here and they find out how bad they are. They close the book and listen to somebody tell them how good they are.
Yeah.
Where are we at? The last days. In the last days, perilous times shall come. What happens in the last days? People will heap themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll be scratching them little ears, telling them how good they are. Telling them how, listen, smiling at them and telling them you got the victory. You blessed and highly favored and all this other stuff. In the meantime, they're poor in spirit and they're lost without God.
Right.
But the past of believers goes like this. In Ephesians chapter 2, if you hold your place here, Ephesians chapter 2. If you're saved tonight, you have a past. And I don't mean bring up your past, and I hope you don't. I hope you never bring it up. If you have to tell somebody you lost, and tell them you're on your way to hell, and that's enough, man. Listen, this business of wanting to air out people's sins all the time and all that's ridiculous. Look at this. Here's why. Ephesians chapter 2, if you want your past, listen, let God put three verses in the Bible about your past. Here they are. Number one, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Number one thing in Ephesians chapter 2, before you get any farther, he had to make you alive or you're still dead. I look at that dead and trespasses and sins, and I'm reminded back to Genesis chapter 3 when they partook of that fruit. They died. Their spirit died right then. And everybody since then is born the same way. You're not born in the image of the Father now. You're born in the image of Adam. And in the image of Adam, you come into this world with a live flesh, a live soul, and a dead spirit that's already found guilty in trespasses and sins. In verse 2, wherein time passed, see, as you passed, you walked according to the course of this world. So what did the world do? I don't know what they do. You tell me. Tell me what you're doing now and what you walk according to now. That's what lost people follow after. You know, right now, while you're sitting here, we're getting prepared for Christmas. We're buying gifts, and they're finding out that Rudolph was bullied by the other reindeer. They're finding out that Baby It's Cold Outside is offensive, and it's a rape song. You got to understand, that song was written back when people didn't spend the night with people.
Right.
I'm not condoning the song either. I'm just saying it's not what they're saying it is now.
Right.
I heard the other day that Frosty the Snowman was a racist cartoon. I thought, Lord have mercy, what are they going to come up with next? I mean, you hear all that stuff. But look at that. You walk according to the course of this world. How are they walking now? Here it is, the United States of the offended. That's the course.
Yeah.
Are you following along as the things offend you? You know what the Bible says about offended? Listen to this. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. How offended are you again? Look at this. According to the prince of the power there, are you influenced by what you watch?
Well,
if you lost, you can't help this. You're going to do whatever they say. Listen to this. For whatever reason, good or bad, you got to be careful with what you believe that you see on that thing called a television and what you hear on that thing you call a radio and on those web pages you call an internet.
Right.
And the reason being is not that they're all corporately bad, but because they have to pass through the air at some point to get to your house, therefore they're influenced by this individual right here. You know what? When they want to ban Rudolph and they want to ban Frosty, why don't they ban all them TV shows with gay actors on them playing, or straight actors playing gay people, and try to force that down somebody all the time?
Amen.
I mean, you want to be fair.
Yeah.
You want toleration, won't you? Listen, how about this? How about just take half of them off?
Come on.
Oh, you don't want to do that because that would be unfair to the quote artist? That ain't art.
That's trash. Right.
And it's perversion, and I don't care what a textbook calls it. God's textbook calls it perversion.
Amen.
I see he says, according to the prince of the power there, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, My goodness, that's a spiritual matter, ain't it? So if you were born with a dead spirit, there's a spirit that's working inside you, that's working in place of your dead spirit, that's the spirit of disobedience. Now you know why people do the way the things they do. You ever wondered why out in the middle of the desert, why everybody wouldn't do right for Moses? 2.5 million people. Could you imagine that? Thus saith the Lord, we don't like that. We won't go back to Egypt and eat the garlics and leeks and onions. You talking about 2.5 million unconverted people that did not have the Spirit of God and was born with a dead spirit. No wonder that man went through all that. No wonder it took 40 years to go an 8 days journey.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Amen.
I had a man one time tell me, and he was a deacon, he said this. He said, I don't see how them Jews are so stubborn the way they are. I said, I don't see how these Gentiles are. We got the Spirit of God, a complete Bible, and we still do the same things they do. What's wrong with us? I believe some of us are just like them old preachers said. 95% of us is probably just unconverted. That's what the problem is. And we can't seem to get this thing because we can't understand it because we got a dead spirit. And we got a spirit working inside the children of disobedience. And he says in verse 3, among whom also we all. You see that all right there? That's the same alls in every place in the Bible. We all had our conversation in times past. Now, I know conversation means lifestyle. A belief and behavior. But the word conversation also means another thing. You know what it means? How you talk.
Right.
We had our conversation in times past. Watch this. In the jokes thou tell around the water cooler at work. The lust of the flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life. And were by nature, watch this, the children of wrath, even as others. Can I quote the social media thing of the day of the South? We're going to throw hands and catch charges. Because you done crossed the line now. You done made me mad. I've waited on the video to see that thing happen, and I've not seen it yet. I'm not for violence. I'm not for fighting. But if they're going to say it, I mean, you know, put them up and let's do it. I'm not talking about threats against me. I'm talking about who are they booking. Might be one of y'all. Hope you're ready. Now, I mean, I hope somebody ain't been in a fight in 20 years, ain't seen the inside of a gym in 30, is going to threaten to fight you. I hope you've got 2 seconds ready to whoop them with. Because it ain't going to last long. They better be able to knock you out one punch. Because I'm telling you, by that third one, they're going to be sucking more wind than that air conditioner return is. I think people get so ridiculous, they get behind the keyboard, they get 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
You ever thought about this? You're not in third grade no more. Well, some of you are, I guess, but, you know. Largely in part, I'm talking to the adults, you're not. Somebody 40 years old talking about, I'm going to throw hands and kiss you. You ain't even been arrested. You know what it's like to have a hand shoved behind your back and you tell them, my back hurts, and they say, I don't care.
Right.
They cuffing and stuffing like Roscoe does. You going in that car. Yeah, and your head might catch sight of it if you ain't careful and you run that mouth too much to them.
Right.
You'll get back and say, look at his body cam. Oh, well, it ain't working. Look at there. I had a man try to explain to me how the police were so bad to certain group of people. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Every time the police tell them, frankly, stop what you are doing and put it down, and they won't respond to a vocal command. The people neither are deaf, and they speak the English language. The cop speaks the same language. He shouts out the command. They still won't do it. You know why? Did you just see the spirit of the children of disobedience?
Yep.
I ain't never had a problem about being pulled over. They pulled me over and said, what are you doing for? I always lie and say, I have no idea why. Why did you pull me over, you know? Isn't that what y'all do? When they pull me over, I say, I don't want to guess. I was doing so many things. Which one did you catch me on, amen? Listen, that's a better way to put it. But listen to me. If you'll be nice to them and don't give them a hard time, they'll be nice back.
Right.
Well, they out to get such and such. They ain't out to get nobody.
Right.
But if you play for the other team and you start doing stuff towards them, they're going to get you. Throwing your hands and catching charges. Here's your past. Watch this. In the lust, flesh, desired mind, by nature, the children of disobedience, even as others. You had a crowd doing it with you.
Right.
Now look over at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Hebrews, James, chapter 2. Nothing like a little Bible to clear up a lot of confusion. What happened to you, believer? You was poor in spirit. What happened to you? Here's what happened to you. But God, who is rich in mercy, that's what happened to you.
Right.
He came to you with mercy, and He came to you with grace when you deserved His justice and you deserved His punishment. He came to you with that. If you look in James chapter 2, look down at verse 5. Watch this one. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which He hath promised to them that love Him? What'd He do? He came to everybody that's poor in spirit. He drew them to Himself so they could see how poor in spirit they were. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. When we compare to Him being lifted up, we are, listen, we are poor in spirit. I look at all that and I see what James says about the, you know, how God had looked at these brethren and chosen the poor of this world. And I look at people making statements like, well, Christian people are weak-minded people. Guilty. Guilty. Well, Christian people have a hard time with life. Guilty. Guilty. I don't understand people. I don't understand things. I come to the Bible, God says, this is why it's like that. And I go, well, that was simple. Now I understand it. Now I just don't like it. Why does somebody come along and try to rip you off? Because there's people out there that do that. And get this one. In the last days, men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Listen, if you were to ask me tonight, how many religious channels do you watch on TV? I'd have to tell you the truth. None. Not any local ones, national ones, satellite, internet, or otherwise. Tell you why. If I have to sift through 98% fake religious garbage that's pretending to be a spokesman for God to get to the 2% I need to, I'll just attend church somewhere where the man of God's preaching and get it there and get 100%. We go to revivals and special meetings and prayer meetings and things like that, and we can sit and listen to the things of God, and I enjoy that. I'd rather have that than try to figure out which offer I need to spend my money on this week. Here's a victory pen. It's got my name on it. $35 donation. Item number 0005771. Who's stupid enough? Oh, never mind. I know who's stupid enough to fall for that. Listen, the unconverted are. And they fall for it over and over and over. If you ever wonder about that, that's why Creflo Dollar bought several $1 million worth of a jet the other year. Why do you think Joel Osteen has that big crowd out there? He's got because people are deceived and being deceived.
Yep.
If you ever wonder why people fall into stuff like that, if you don't have the Spirit of God to lead you into the truth, you'll fall for anything.
Yep.
And then this crowd gotten so bad that God said in the last days they'll deceive even the very elect. They'll even get some saved people on it. What are we? The past of our life? The past of the believers? What are we? We're just like them. Just like them. If you'll notice something else, if you look back over at Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit. There's a word right there, are. What's that mean? Does that mean right now? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is. That's a present tense word, right? Mm-hmm. Are and is. So you got not only the past of the believers as a distinction, but you got the preservation of believers only. You know what God done for you? He saved you, and He's kept you saved, in spite of you. And this is something for believers only. When I look at these verses right here, and I see that He says, blessed are, theirs is, there's something to that. Here's how He found you, and here's how He's got you. And the preservation of believers only is this. You don't keep yourself saved, He keeps you saved. I want to show you two places in the Bible. Neither one of them is John 10. Are you ready for this? Matthew chapter 18. Someone may ask you the question, well, how does people that say they're saved act like they lost? Don't you believe they lost their salvation? No, I don't believe they lost it. I don't think they never had it. I think the problem is they never got saved to start with. And the reason I believe they never got saved to start with, they were trying to con themselves or somebody else with their conversion and their baptism. Matthew chapter 18, listen to this. Verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be, underline, circle this, converted. See that? Except you be converted and become as little children, poor in spirit, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm going to deal with the kingdom of heaven just a little bit, but I want to show you right there. He said, except you be what? Converted. There's got to be a change in your life. God's got to convert you. And what he wants to convert you into is not a know-it-all, but a child. You know what you do with a child? You tell them everything. Time to go to bed. Time to get up. Time to eat. Well, you might not tell them that, but when they get teenagers, you sure won't. They'll be asking to eat all the time. But when they're children, you say, it's time to eat. Time to take a nap. Time to do this. Time to go here. Time to go to school. Time to come home from school. Time to change classes. Time for lunch. Time for this. Is that right?
Amen.
He said, except you be converted and become as little children. When you first got saved, you know what you did? You approached the Bible in total belief. God, what have you got to say? And you looked and seen what God had to say. And you'd read something that would seem difficult, but you said, My God's got this. He's got this. And nothing bothered you. And somebody said, I got problems. Let me pray with you. You didn't know how to pray. You, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but bless God, you help them. Amen. You'd say anything praying. You didn't even know how to pray. You wouldn't say, Our Holy Father. Which are, you didn't know how to talk like that. You just talked in English and prayed. What happened to you? Did you grow up on us? He said, be converted to be his little children. He didn't say grow up from that point right there. I'm not talking about being immature. I'm talking about dependency. I've known preachers in my lifetime, but they, listen, they'd pray and say they got the will of God and call 18 people to try to find out if it was right. You ain't got to do that. It's either here or it's not. Simple. I've seen Christians say, now what do you think? Should I do point A or point B? You know what they wanted? If it failed, they could blame me for making the choice. You know what I tell them? I don't know. Because I don't know. That's something God's got to deal with you about.
Right.
See, we don't have a hierarchy in religion. We're all the same under Jesus Christ. And he said, what about us? He said, you got a preservation. How does the preservation start? Right there in that word, converted. Who converts you? It's the Father's plan. It's the Son that was lifted up and the Holy Ghost that draws you to him. Now, if you look over at 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, we see this stuff plain. It's plain as day. The preservation of believers is not on the believer, it's on Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse number 9, he points out, Who hath saved us, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the affliction, the power of the gospel, the power of God. See that word, saved. Now, I want you to intelligently answer this question. Is that future tense? Is it present tense, or is that word past tense? Because it's got ED on it, right? Who hath saved us? The who reflects back to Jesus Christ's pronoun, right? Or a proper pronoun. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. You see that thing right there? It wasn't how well you did or how well you're doing. He said, not according to that thing, but according to his own purpose and grace. There's how you got saved. God had a purpose and had grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now that takes you to a different step right there. Before he ever said, let there be anything, he was planning on saving you. Don't get too puffed up. He offered the same thing to everybody. You just accepted it. And when you accepted that, you were converted. Watch this. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. See, that thing ain't on you at all. It's on him.
Right.
And under the inspiration of God, he said so right there. He's persuaded he's able to keep it. Ain't that good to know? You ever lost anything? I had a friend tell me one time, if you lose too many small things, you've got a rat somewhere in your house. I started putting my cuff links up in little places where they couldn't get them. I don't hardly get to wear them anymore, but I don't want them to have them, just in case they might be one. He said, they'll go after buttons, shiny things, and all that. We can't have that. But what's worse is, that probably ain't why I lose half the things I lose. We got a cell phone plan a while back. I thought we got an iPhone 8, and it's been 3 or 4 years, we got an iPhone 7. I can't tell the difference. They all look the same to me. I got the large print version so I can see it. But listen to this. As big as that stupid thing is, I lose it all the time. I'll come in the house and I'll say, and there's somebody be standing over near me going, I know. Y'all never do this. We put this thing beside our door. It's a thing with three hooks on it. We got three people in our house that has keys. All our keys hang there. Do you know what happens if they don't hang them there when we come in the door? Have you any idea what will happen next? Pure chaos. We're late going somewhere. Where's the keys? I don't know. You had them. No, you had them. So now we hang our keys up. It only took us 35 years to figure that out, and we've given you that night for free. How long have we been married for? I think of 10 years, maybe, something like that. It's a good little while. But it solved the problem. Because we lose things. We're human. You ever lose anything?
Yeah.
I went to a mall one time with Russell Jones. Y'all know who that is, that preacher Russell Jones?
Yeah.
Bless his heart. He kept talking to him, and I forgot where we was at, and it took us an hour to find the car when we come out. I had to get the security guy to drive him around. I couldn't remember where he was going. We got to talking, totally forgot where he was at. And by the way, in case he sees this, it's still your fault. He called me today and said, I ain't forgot that yet. I said, I ain't neither. I said, I got a thing on my phone now, so when I get out of the car, I hit a button in places like that. I know exactly where to come back to. And if I can't remember, that little thing tells me how to get there if I remember where I put that thing at. Listen to me. The preservation of believers is not on the believer. It's on God Almighty himself. If he can't keep you saved, there's no way you'll stay saved. Listen to this. He points out and says this. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Why is that? For theirs is something. What is it?
Kingdom of heaven.
Kingdom of heaven. He didn't say the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of heaven. When you go to study that thing, I'm going to get this right here right quickly. You have a distinction for believers only, and it's the possession of believers. The possession of believers. Do you know how it feels to own land and know that without a house on it, that that's your land? You ever bought property or something? You go by places, I've seen churches have a sign up on the middle of the field that says future home of, and you know, whatever it is. They own the land. I know people right now that own land that have great thoughts of that land later on. We're gonna put a home there of some kind. We're going to put a house there, a mobile home or something. And the men always say this, we're going to have a shop over here. We got plans for it. Future. Here's your possession. All the land. But not here. Kingdom of heaven. I went over this several times. I'm going to throw it again. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. We define that in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 4:2, I think it is, or 2:4, one of the two, I get them backwards, that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It's a spiritual kingdom. When you see people say, well, the kingdom of God in heaven, they're used interchangeably, so they mean the same thing. No, they don't. Because if you go study this phrase, the kingdom of heaven, it only occurs in one book of the Bible. Just one. This one, Matthew. It occurs some 32 times in 33 verses, and the kingdom of heaven is a physical place. You know what your possession is? Listen to this. Every time that thing shows up and they say kingdom of heaven, Jesus is always standing there. I thought it says a physical place. It is. But if he ain't in it, it ain't heaven. When he said the kingdom of heaven draweth nigh, he wasn't kidding. It was right there in front of him. The kingdom of heaven is before us. There's Jesus walking up. He's the physical part of that that matters. If you could get to heaven and Jesus wasn't there, it wouldn't be heaven at all. You ever wondered why in Revelation when it says that when he returns to this earth, all of us are with him? You ever wondered why? We won't ever want to be without him. I've heard people say, I can't wait to get to heaven to see mama and daddy and my dog Spot and all these other stuff. When you get to heaven, you'll forget them people for a little while.
That's right.
You'll see him for the first time, and you'll realize your greatest possession of all was this, that you was his and he's yours, and that you was sealed until the day of redemption by him. You was born again by his precious blood. His spirit converted you as a little child, and the possession of believers only is this, you were in Christ and Christ was in you. When you get there, you'll forget about all the hard times and the laborious times. You'll forget about how many times you've done wrong. He'll say, welcome, my child. You'll see those nail prints in his hand, and you'll forget all about this dirt ball called earth. And then he'll set you down after the rapture, give you a meal like you've never seen, take us through the judgment seat and all that, and he's going to get on a horse to come back, and all of a sudden we're going to say, hold up, we're going to. We don't want to be here without you. We'll be around you. That's why we come back with him. We can't be without him after that. You never get separated no more. The Apostle Paul put it this way. Who can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus?
Right.
Once you get to heaven, if he leaves heaven and goes, you're going with him.
Right.
And here's the thing. You'll have a choice and you won't want to stay behind.
Yeah.
I've heard people say, we're going to inherit the earth, and we will for 1,000 years. But get this. We got another possession that's better than that. We got Jesus Christ. We have him personally. All these things are the privilege of poverty. There's people that's born again right now that they understand this better than I do. They've been through poverty. They got saved. They understand what it means like to have these possessions in Christ Jesus. There are folks that are well off that have these possessions. They know what it's like to be in poverty because they saw themselves in poverty through the magnificent Word of God one day. Today, you're one or the other. You're either in poverty or you're in his possession. One of the two. If you're in him, you've got everything. You just don't realize it. The late Dr. Harry Ironside out in Dallas, Texas said this. They said, Dr. Ironside, the Bible College is having some difficulty with our finances. He said, well, I'll tell you what, let's do. He flipped his Bible open, found that verse over Psalms about how the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He got down and prayed right there at that board meeting director, all them stuffed shirts around the table. You know how they are, all stuffy and all the creases everywhere. He got down and said, Lord, we need you to sell some cattle. They all looked at him like he was crazy. And, you know, when he got up and praying, they said, oh, well, yeah, Lord, yeah, you know. You know what God did? Secretary came around there and said, Harry, something strange happened. He said, what is it? And all them stuffed shirts listed to him. She said, this man called. He said, they just sold a bunch of cattle and give us some money. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.